to Jean Paul and the EU Center of Excellence for having me here. It's a real pleasure, and thank you, Professor Crane, for taking the time of reading my paper. Well, as Jean Paul has said, my main areas of research are, on one side, climate change and energy policies, and on the other side, corporate social responsibility. I always start all this research because I started studying European Union environmental policy, so it has taken me to several different areas, and one of them is how business behave, and then corporate social responsibility. So the first thing we could talk about, and it will take us forever, is the concept of corporate social responsibility, because people don't even agree on a particular definition. Here is the definition that the European Commission gives in the Green paper that presented in 2001. At the same time, or almost at the same time, that it presented the first sustainable development strategy for the EU. That strategy has been reviewed and updated several times, but from the very beginning it was clear that business should be included and parties taking part in taking to the EU into a sustainable development path. That's the overarching goal of the EU, is to become a sustainable development economy. That's what all the documents say. If you see the communication that came last year trying to get us out of the crisis, the strategy is called for inclusive, sustainable, and growth and smart growth. So the word sustainable is present all the time. And in my question today is, is since the concept that is accepted more or less always say that the CSR, corporate social responsibility approach, should be something voluntary coming from companies. Should it remain only voluntary, or should be any type of intervention from governments regulating it or harmonizing it at least? Throughout the paper, I answer myself this question, and my opinion is a wide yes. So I would like to justify a little bit what's going on and the reasons why I think there is room for public intervention on this area. Okay, if we think or we accept that corporate social responsibility strategies are the way that companies contribute to get sustainable development, companies should be looking at the economic, social and environmental aspect. So that's the triple bottom line that those who work on this know about. And some of them do, some of them don't. But in the current, the existing strategies, something that is usually lacking is the long-term approach. All these strategies that companies apply right now are focused on the short term because they keep focusing on the short term profits. And it's one of the main defaults that the Commission also has identified that should change, not only in the strategies themselves, but in the area of corporate governance and the way that shareholders are involved within the company's governance. So, how do we know if a company is behaving in a socially responsible way? Some people say that it's going beyond its legal obligations. I mean, we have come to a situation in which, in some countries and in some areas, being compliant with the law could be considered something exceptional when it should be the normal thing. So on one side, one company that is being socially responsible is a company that goes beyond its legal obligations. If not, it should be, it will be doing what it's supposed to be doing, because it, if not, it shouldn't be even existed. On the other side, if we want to measure or have some type of public visibility of a company being socially responsible, it has to be some type of indicators externally. And what we find is that we have a lot of standards, but none of them harmonize. All the indexes uses different factors to decide what should be taken into account to consider a company responsible socially or not. For instance, the Dow Jones Sustainability Index gives three levels of factors: the social, the economics, and the environmental. And surprise, surprise, the environmental is the one that accounts for less important. So why do we have such an index for sustainability if we have the other indexes already that are giving value to the economic performance of the companies? So there are initiatives all over the place, and there's no type of a standardization on how to see if a company is being socially responsible or not. Obviously, there are a wide range of companies and a wide range of sectors. Not all of them has the same influence. Not all of them have the same power, even, to appear in a sustainability index. One of the gaps identified is that those indexes include only listed companies and very big companies. So what usually happens is that the companies that have more resources are the ones that can appear and dedicate resources to be in that index. So more or less, you can find that the indices can be biased towards the interest of the big companies. So that will be another reason for public intervention somehow. Okay, I mentioned the triple bottom line. We are used to see public intervention on environmental issues, and we are used to see public intervention on social issues. Now we will leave the corporate governance, the management area of the corporate social responsibility strategy, where it seems to be some kind of reluctance to that, because it's been considered something private, so something that affects to the internal management of the company. So if we have seen already that there was a need for public intervention on environmental issues by the companies as well, and on social issues by the companies as well, why not, if we are seeing market failures that claim for that, and the current crisis is a very good example of this. So, to make a comparison between the European countries, I use as an approach only the models for public involvement on CSR activities developed by Alvareda and Lozano in 2005. Please don't take it as I'm accepting this model as key. I'm interested on it because it divides behavior of countries mainly based on cultural differences. And it can explain more or less some of the issues that appear in corporate social responsibility across EU countries. As you see, this study only includes the 15 member states before the last enlargement, sorry. And it's actually, if I mean, the model has some limits, obviously, but there are some issues that can explain quite well. The partnership model is the one that affects to the Nordic countries, countries with a very well-developed welfare state and very conscious with environmental issues. It's called partnership model for a reason, and it's that private initiatives and public initiatives get together without any problem at all. So you can find initiatives coming from the government that are very well accepted, initiatives coming from companies that are very well accepted by the government, and joint initiatives as well, where you can find public private partnership without any problem. One issue that sometimes appears in these countries is when reporting the results of these strategies, there is a lack of homogeneity. And another issue, or I don't see it so much as an issue, is that as they are very well developed and their path growing sustainable path is quite good, what they are focused on is on how to transmit their system to third countries, mainly developing countries. So they have a very international focus, and they try to transmit their good level of environmental protection in most of the countries, but especially human rights protection into developing countries. The second division will apply to UK and Ireland, and it's called the business in the community model. It's particular because obviously it applies to the Anglo-Saxon countries, and it comes from a very specific situation, a crisis at the end of last century with lots of job cuts, quite similar to the current one, but instead of what we have now, instead of only for UK, it's everywhere. So that's an interesting one. There was a lot of social needs appearing, social lacks covering. And this is a model that calls for private intervention to cover social needs. So what the government does is to ask companies to get involved in social issues and get involved with the community. And what it does as well is to promote that and incentivize that. So it has some measures, like some type of advantages, if companies really act in that area. The third model could be the sustainability and citizenship model. Here the countries, well, we have more countries. We have Germany and France among them here, Belgium. And the basis is that more than incorporate social responsibility, they focus on the concept of sustainability in itself. So, and they have the concept of good citizen. A company must be a good citizen, and to be a good citizen, it must go beyond the legal compliance of its obligations. That's what they are focusing on. And there is a mix of initiative. In some countries is public initiative, in some others is private. But the basic is that the concept of good citizen who wants to get sustainable development, so it must go beyond what is legally applicable to him. And the last one, the Agora model. The Agora model applies to the Mediterranean countries. We have Spain, Italy, Greece, and Portugal here. And I call it the messy model. Because, and it's quite explanatory of what we can find right now. I mean, see which four countries are involved in this type of model. Greece and Portugal already intervened by the European Union. Italy, like, saved in extremis, and Spain always on the edge, and we don't know what's going to happen. And the Agora model is called like that because it involves participation to have CSR initiatives from all areas of the society. So it's the participation from universities, from companies, from associations, from union, and from government as well. What the government does is to provide a forum for those people to get in touch and propose new initiatives. And what's going on? Usually, when they finally decide something, it's not because it has come from an agreement between them, but it comes from somebody else's requirement, usually from because the EU is asking them to do something about it. As a result of that, usually when they try to implement something, they do it late. An example of this, I usually start comparing situation in Spain with situation in other EU countries. In Spain, we find initiatives on CSR strategies late 90s, 2000, year 2000. And they come from the private initiative. There's nothing coming from the government in that moment. The government approved a CSR State Council in 2008, and it started working in 2010. And in 2010, it approved an initiative of CSR for small and medium enterprises. But it hasn't given any results so far. It's too soon, and with the change of government and the current crisis, who knows what can happen with that. So far, it's been producing some documents and nothing really that can be applied practically. The case of Italy, well, the case of Italy is not doing anything, absolutely, till European Union tells them so. So before the green paper of the European Union was approved in Italy, nothing was done. So that's quite a good example of what's going on. And we see, in the previous slide, we can see like four different type of models. And as you see, there's the new countries coming from the eastern side of Europe are not included. So there's something that is missing there. I haven't gone into detail. I have started studying what's going on with the new member states. But the only information I can give you so far is that there are countries with no real initiative because their market development is still quite in an early stage, really. So they are adapting to the new membership situation, and the initiatives to adopt CSR strategies come from whether the EU or the international organization like the International Monetary Fund. And interestingly enough, they are focused on this on small and medium enterprises. That it's something that is usually missing in most of the CSR strategies in the rest of countries. There is already some regulation in some of the member states about CSR practices. This report is from 2009, but you can see, yes, it means that there is a regulation. No, obviously, that is no type of regulation. And the type of regulations that exist, for instance, relate to the way that CSR strategies are reported, public purchasing, socially responsible investment reporting, public equity investment on CSR, climate change, environment, and other promotion initiatives. But even if there are some type of regulation in these areas, there is nothing standard at this level either, because sometimes the regulation applies only and mainly in, I could say 90% of the codes I've seen so far, it applies only to indexed companies, listed companies. So again, forgetting small and medium enterprises. Then some others focus on pension funds. It's a social area of CSRs. And some others, for instance, in the participation of women in the labor market, trying to promote that. So coming, obviously, from different situation in each member state, there's no way of getting unity in what they are regulating, really. Here, if we focus in the area of corporate governance, this will show us as well a lot of differences between EU countries. This report is produced, Hatred and Struggles report is produced every 2 years. In the 2009 report, there is a rating. There is a rating of the countries that participate, 13 countries in this case. The last one, I cannot give you a rating because it became so complicated, all the factors that they were including, that they decided that there was not possible to produce a rating. They include two new countries. They include Norway and Poland. And they started taking into account many more factors. I mean, the 2009-11 report has to be understood in the context of the crisis as well. So you can understand that a lot of things had to change, and some of them started changing. And there was a closer look at corporate governance behavior from outside, so they had to be more careful in what they were producing and how they were producing it. So it doesn't surprise in one sense to find United Kingdom in the first place of the rating, if we take into account, for instance, that they have a minister for corporate social responsibility in 2000. That, we have to mention, it doesn't exist anymore. Maybe it could surprise to find Germany so low in that rating. We have to focus that this is only corporate governance. It's not the three areas of corporate social responsibility. That's one thing. And the index gets so many factors that, for instance, Germany is number one in ethics committees in 2009, but is low rated in other areas. Could be remuneration or, I don't know, the internationalization of the corporate governance board. There are many, many factors to take into account. For instance, Denmark doesn't appear either very well positioned here, but it's one of the few countries that always include a woman in the governance board, and it's very well rated on that area. While, for instance, in Spain, only 50% of the companies have a woman on board. You see, there is loads and loads of differences, loads and loads of factors to be taken into account when doing a rating, an index. And this is only for corporate governance. Imagine if you add the other two areas. So, what's corporate governance? Because some people get confused and call corporate governance corporate social responsibility as well. And obviously, the Commission has always have to give us a definition. It's the system by which companies are directed and controlled. And on the other side, their relationship with the stakeholders, really. So, why should Commission, the European Commission, want to intervene in here? If, and some companies say that, why should you be getting involved in how I control my company? That's the main thing that companies say, not in all countries. But they are reluctant, really reluctant, to having regulation on this area. I can understand why, but I can understand also that they have been behaving so badly in some aspect that some type of intervention is needed. Another issue, for instance, to give you more examples of behavior in European countries. In Spain, there's a debate on what should be going on. Should we leave companies go on as they are, or should we regulate corporate social responsibility more? Should we have more corporate governance control. One perception of companies, for instance, in the environmental area, is that if someone breaks the law, there's no penalty. So what's the incentive to take action to improve the behavior of the company? So more than asking for a regulation or a new law, what people are asking for is that that regulation that already exists is fulfilled, is complied with, and if someone is not complying with it, gets penalized. So they ask for a good surveillance system from the government. That's one issue, for instance, in the Spanish level, and it's perceived in other countries as well. The crisis changed many, many things. While things were going okay, companies could do more or less what they wanted. But when crisis started, and especially it started in the financial sector, European Union said, no way, you cannot go on like this. So in 2010, it already created new regulation for the financial sector corporate governance system. And it said, okay, it's not only the financial sector the one that needs that, because we are seeing a lot of defaults in other sectors. So let's do something similar. And so far, the Green Paper was published in April 2011, and there has been a public consultation that was closed in November last year. So I'm still waiting on what they are going to do now with the results of the consultation. But if we go back to the comparison between countries, something that has changed in some of them is that, for instance, the review of the corporate governance code is done with much more, let's say, control, more scrutiny, more going into the detail about what each company is doing. It's interesting also to know what's been going on with the salaries of the governance board in companies. It's interesting, I found it really interesting that, for instance, in countries like Spain, salaries of the governance board went down. So it should be a good indicator that they were reacting correctly to the crisis. But in countries like Portugal, salaries went up. And it's a country that has been intervened. So it doesn't make sense, behaviors like this. More defaults that the Commission identified. The involvement of shareholders with company management, with company governance. Mostly they are perceived to get engaged only in the short term to get a short term profit. So one of the things that the Green Paper is suggesting, recommending, who knows what next, is that shareholders get involved in the long term decisions that the company take. So not only focusing on short term. What else? Is still low participation of women. The average in the EU is 12%, but there are countries with much lower participation, obviously. And I could give you much more details. For instance, the internationalization of the governance board, for instance. In this area, there are many influences, particularly cultural and language differences. So it's not the same to have a company that has offices all over the place, but the governance board is only from the main headquarters, than having a governance board including someone, at least, from any or some of the countries where the company operates. that level of internationalization of the board is still quite low. There is still difference between countries, but it's another area that the Commission wants to improve. For instance, in France, only 3% of the companies don't have representatives from foreign countries. In Poland, it's more than 60% of the companies that don't have representatives from foreign companies. I could go like this for a long time. So market failures that have been identified by other studies. First one, I've already mentioned it, the focus in the short term is still only profit focus. So forgetting about the social issues and forgetting about the environmental issues is only economical focus. Then, the existence of asymmetric information. So no one has, I mean, we are working in imperfect markets. It's not perfect competition. That would be ideal, but it's not what we have. It's asymmetric information. So the asymmetric information makes that at high level, only the government can intervene to regulate something that can benefit the whole society. What else? The use, and this is a use that the Commission has already been promoting, use the appearance in indexes and the approval or implementation of corporate social responsibility strategies as a marketing element. It's good, or it was supposed to be good, to have companies engage, saying that having corporate social responsibility strategies in place will improve their competitiveness level, they will gain potential customers because they will be well perceived by the public in general if they say that they are doing something good for the environment or for the community they work with. It's always going to be good. But what happens? What if the action or the supposed action that the company is taking is just that, a marketing strategy, and there is no real action that can be measured in the long term? That's one of the main issues, and that's something that it's been happening. I'm not going to say the name of the company, but I've seen one case of a multinational, quite famous, of the, let's say, oil sector, with presenting their annual report saying this company doesn't perform any activity that harm the environment. An oil company saying that. You know that because of the European trade scheme, oil companies need to mandatory participate in that scheme, in that market. So the report continued saying that the participation in that market was part of the general strategy of the company, when it was not, because it was mandatory by law. And then you see the same company with lots of adverts on TV saying we have implemented so many projects that protect the environment. And I say, come on. You were not supposed to be affecting the environment in any way. So we find lots of incongruences in companies' behavior, and that's one of the issues that we find. What I mentioned before, the corporate governance code and the indexes that exist. Corporate governance codes are developed at national level. Even if they have some type of international or European Union guideline, each country or sometimes each sector has its own corporate governance code and is not measured against anything. That's one of the issues. Or the indexes, as I said before, only include big companies. What happened with companies that are not listed? How can you ignore a sector like small and medium enterprises in a situation like the crisis, knowing that they generate more than 80% of the employment in the EU. I don't know about America, but in the EU is at least 80% of the employment generated by small and medium enterprises, and they are out of the whole system of CSR. There are some private initiatives by big companies trying to help small and medium companies to start developing this type of strategies. But can we find, one initiative, two initiatives per country, something like that? No more, and it depends on which area of Europe we are talking about. The standards that exist, as I said, can be only focused on one sector, on one company, and sometimes if they are developed by a sector, they are responding to the need of the company in a moment in time. May not be responding to a real social need. With this, what do I want to say? That what happens if a company is performing one type of project, let's say that it claims to be in favor of the community it's installed. But what if that community doesn't need that type of project at all? Is that a real involvement in the community life? That's what we find. What if the area of whatever town needs a school, and what the company is promoting is, for instance, a park or a sports center? Doesn't make sense. So that's the kind of non-consistencies that we find. What's the focus that is putting the European Commission on now? To stop shareholders to be focused only on the short-term profit gain, to improve the way that reports on corporate governance are produced. One of the main reasons is that there is already a directive from 2006 that is the logo is comply or explain. So the companies must adjust their behavior to a code. And if they don't, they have to explain why they are not following the code. The conclusion of the commission is that the reports trying to explain why they are not adjusting to the code are insufficient, inefficient, and don't serve anything, basically. So it's lack of information. So there needs to be more information produced and better information produced. And the third element would be to have a standardization. And in the governance board, be focused more on other aspects of how an executive or non-executive member of the governance board is, instead of technical aspect, because right now all the boards used to be focusing on all the technical qualifications of the board and not the general view that should have of how the company should be behaving. So the last comment so far I have is the doubt that we are right now, because there is room clearly for public intervention for improving the current situation. Now the decision should be by law, by regulation, or by recommendations and harmonization of common practices. That's what we are currently trying to get a solution for at EU level. What happens? If you tell companies, for instance in the UK case is very clear, because UK companies have a lot of influence in public decisions, and it's higher than in other EU countries. So they say, if you give me too many recommendations, If you give me too many guidelines, you are trying to force me into action. You are clearly invading what it should be my behavior, and what you are trying to do is to cover what you cannot do with your public funding and ask me to do it. So they will be reluctant to that approach. And if on the other side we have more law, more regulation, they will say, come on, you are over-regulating me. I have to comply with more and more and more every day. So you don't let me the flexibility I need to adapt to the changing circumstances of the market. So that's the question, what to do now? And that's all for me for the moment. So I'm open to your questions and comments.
Thanks, Rosa. I'll say a few comments just to get the discussion going, really, about some thoughts that I had about the paper and where you might develop it, or where I had some questions, or perhaps where I think the discussion might go on this. I think, first off, it's great to see some attention paid to the role of government and intergovernmental organisations in CSR. Too often, I think, we see this as a matter of either we go for CSR or regulation, a kind of either-or picture, which is one of the questions that gets arisen here, but it's not the only one. I think sometimes some of the more interesting questions are about how these two things intersect, so what role government should play in promoting or enforcing CSR-type activities. And I think when you posed your question at the beginning there, you moved a little bit towards that either-or question. Whereas I think some of the more interesting questions that came out of what you were saying were about, well, what role should government play in trying to ensure that companies are responsible? So I think that's one area which I think we can talk about is, you know, what is the appropriate role for government in promoting CSR? And I think what I was surprised about, you didn't mention the latest European Union CSR strategy they came out with at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. And there they make it pretty clear. And I got the quote here, that the development of CSR should be led by enterprises themselves, they say. Public authorities should play a supporting role. So the EU itself is being very clear about what is the role that governments should play, this kind of supporting role. Now, we can agree with that or not. You know, is that the role of government here? But it certainly provides some kind of boundary to where the Commission is currently seeing the role of government. So that's one aspect. The other thing I think was great was bringing corporate governance into the discussion, which is so often not included in discussions of CSR, and it absolutely should be. But as I think, certainly when I was reading the paper and listening to you today, I think the reason why it isn't is because it just makes everything so much more complex. And so, you know, we have a problem then of when we try and put two things that we already don't necessarily agree what they are together, we get even more mess. So I think that makes this kind of assimilation of the two quite difficult. I don't have any answers to that, but I like that you're trying to do it. But I don't know where we might discuss where this is going, though, is about how we see these two interrelated. So some people might regard CSR as an aspect of corporate governance. Other people see it the other way around, that corporate governance is an aspect of CSR, which I think is what you're saying with this paper. Other people would talk about CSR as being based on a foundation of corporate governance, so that's the kind of institutional framework in which CSR takes place. Some people would say they're like two intersecting circles, like a Venn diagram. Some things are shared, some things are separate. You know, we need to come to some agreement, I think, and you don't really make it too explicit in your paper yet.
Not yet.
What the relationship between these two are. And I think it's important to do so, I think, as if we take this conversation forward. I also like the attempt to try and provide this comparative analysis of what happens in different European countries. One of the dangers sitting over here in North America is we tend to say, well, this is what happens in Europe, as if, you know, we can actually characterize that in a single way. That's what Europe does, and this is what North America does. And clearly, as soon as we look in anything but a more sophisticated way, we can see that Europe is a very complex area. We're in the European Union Centre of Excellence here, you know that, but I think when we talk about it in a particular area like CSR, it becomes very clear that we've got these different modes, which I think is an interesting way of looking at it. And I think your focus on the model from Alvareda and Lorenzo, Lozano rather, is an interesting one. It gives us some helpful ways of categorizing these different approaches. But clearly what you gain by generalizing these areas, you lose in terms of some of the fine-grained analysis. So it might be the sort of thing that we might talk about how we would integrate that with an analysis of the different types of roles that governments can play, or the types of strategies or methods or tools they might use. Whether that's through straight regulation or incentives or encouragement or these kind of other things. So we have a range of, we have these different models of government influence on CSR, but we also have different techniques that they might use. And so I think what could be interesting is how those different techniques get brought together to create these different models, and whether different countries are driven into different model, different techniques because of the kind of the past history of how the country operates. And I don't think we necessarily need to look at it that way. They can draw from a whole range of different tools and techniques. Then just a couple more points. I think one of the key things that you're addressing in the paper, and a little bit less in the presentation actually, but when I read the paper, and it just came up at the end of your presentation, it was about this lack of homogeneity or harmonization in CSR across Europe. And is this something we should try and get away from? Do we want to promote a more harmonized model or not? I think that's an interesting question, perhaps one that we can talk about. Do we think that harmonization is a good thing here? I'm not sure the European Commission thinks it's a good thing currently, but it really depends what we mean by CSR. If we see CSR as a set of strategies that companies use, then clearly we want something that's much more heterogeneous, because we want companies to be able to choose what approach they take, so that gives them advantage over other companies. So in that respect, we wouldn't want too much harmonization. And that's the model that the EC seems to be developing now, taking this very strategic view on CSR. If we regard CSR as more about some basic standards of behavior, respect for human rights, not polluting the environment, those sorts of things. If we think about it as some basic operating principles around corporate governance, then we might say we need harmonization on those things. So it depends what we're looking at as CSR, basic principles or standards versus some strategic direction for the companies. So I think we need to have some clarity on what we mean by CSR in that context and what we're really trying to achieve. And interestingly, I think the way the Commission now is suggesting in its new strategy that they're moving towards more harmonization is through these international standards. So using things like the UN Global Compact, the ISO 26000 standard, the Global Reporting Initiative, using those as the Trojan horse for harmonization, rather than trying to push it themselves and encouraging companies to sign up to those international standards. So that's an interesting indirect way to promote some degree of harmonization, which I think is worth thinking about. And then the final point I really wanted to make was really about this thing, the way in which we might then go about making a comparative analysis like this across countries. And I think that it's an important task to undertake, making these types of comparative analyses. But the question is, what sort of data should we use for this? What sort of frameworks do we use to try and capture these things? So I was just thinking, as I was listening to you, where would Canada fit into this? Is Canada more like the Agora Messi model? Is it the Mediterranean of North America, or does it claim to still be the partnership model, the social democratic country in North America? Where does it fit in terms of CSR? It's very difficult to say, I would say. So unless we have some clear dimensions for which we can make these type of comparative analyses, I think it's very difficult to then put further countries in. So you might want to think about what sort of formal instrumentation we might use to make these sort of analyses, and You might look at the work of, say, Cynthia Williams, who was visiting here in the law school a couple of years ago, Ruth Aguilera, who have done these more comparative analyses of corporate governance to look at some of these more standardized approaches. But those are just some of the questions, really, about how CSR and corporate governance go together. What sort of CSR we're talking about here, you know, between the regulated minimums or the CSR strategies, and how we go about making some of these comparative analyses. Those are just some things that occurred to me. But let's
should we open the discussion to everyone, I think. Who wants to say something?